Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe, period, Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.
Welcome to episode 183 of the Rust Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex Newell. With me today, I have
Ben Meredith,
Bryn Monroe,
Lydia Nicholas,
and Helen Gould.
And who are you playing?
Zolf Smith,
Hamid Salah Harun Al Tahan,
Sel Sidebottom,
and Azu.
Guys, I've got my multi-screen, I've got my stat blocks here.
God.
I've got my secondary stat blocks, got my tertiary stat blocks, ugh. I've got my status trackers over here.
Yeah, but I got chickens. So
it's true. It's true. You are delegating out. How much of your calculations and maths for this game are being delegated to the chicken?
I genuinely am keeping an eye through the window over the rug that is suspended on a clothes horse to absorb sound in case the cat from next door looks too hungrily at them.
Well, then what we'll do is we'll leave a soft edit note of if at any point Lydia goes oi and runs off, we might leave the oi and then just hard cut back into the episode once it's done.
I am genuinely nervous because this will be like the longest time that they've been in the run and aww, no one can get out and check that they're okay.
Aww. Well, you have permission to flee to chickens. Speaking of fleeing, entering combat.
Whoop.
So, been a while for everyone. We've already got our initiative order set up. I'm going to run through it for everyone so that you all have an update. So as a reminder for listeners, we are in the Garden of Yerlik. We're quite deep in the Garden of Yerlik, actually. We are accompanied by Summit Njörl and we are accompanied by Wild. We've left Sohra at the entrance. Oh, and Skrark, of course. And we've left Sohra at the entrance to the garden. You've had a lovely walk through a park. And now you're at the sort of Pilates section of your day out, where we're going to work up a sweat, get some exercise, and there'll probably be zero ramifications that, you know, I'm sure nothing will echo down the ages. As a reminder for everyone, your initiative order is Hamid, Zolf, Sel, Skrark, Summit Njörl, Azu, Wild, for all of the things you're aware of.
Fine.
With that in mind, I'm just going to jump straight into combat. Hamid, you're up.
Hamid is currently shaken, but still hasn't actually seen an enemy, as I recall.
No one has.
Yep.
The best kind of combat, because Sasha's not here to sneak up on the people doing the sneaking.
Ha 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 ha!
Hamid casts fly upon himself.
You die. No, you're fine. Yeah, okay, cool.
You fly.
Niche reference for some, but yeah, very bang on.
That's not niche. Not amongst our followers.
So, yeah, that's fine. Cast, no problem. To be clear for everyone, just to be absolutely clear for everyone, none of you have any indicator of an enemy beyond the weird things that have been happening. There's been no visual, no, like, auditory way to place it. It's all been sort of in the head type stuff.
Okay.
With my move action, I begin to hover a few foot off the ground so that all the tall people around me no longer block my view.
Do you hover more than 5 feet off the ground?
Probably 5 feet, given I have to do it in increments of 5 feet for rules reasons.
Okay, good. Just checking.
Oh, man, now my theatre of the mind needs to be in three dimensions.
It's easier than tracking it on a grid.
Also, all combat is going to be temporally focused, so I need at least 5. Okay, yeah, that's fine. Anything else that you want to do on your turn? I realise it's because of initiative, I've basically gone, you know something's happening, but you don't know what. Anything else?
Nope.
Okay, cool. In that case, then, I'm going to jump to you, Zolf. You are next up in initiative. I'm afraid you also have no additional info unless you try to gain it.
So, I am going to use Calming Touch because I've been given a little heads up by Alex that leaving characters shaken is bad.
It's been a gentle heads up of you are in a garden that has made the barrier between life and death weak. Shaken leads to frightened. Frightened leads to running away in random directions.
That leads to the dark side.
Yep.
It just leads to a bad time, if I'm honest. Just if you get shaken, you're going to have a bad time.
Oh, dear. Megalomania plays distantly.
Yeah. Because Hamid hasn't flown up too far, so I'm going to use Calming Touch. And Hamid heals 1d6 points of non-lethal damage. But you are not fatigued, shaken, or sickened. They are removed from you.
Yay!
And that's me.
Sensible. So
I ready my trident. I don't have a trident anymore. I ready my glaive.
Oh, yeah. I will say that for anyone who uses weapons, I've worked under the presumption that, like, you've had a big, healthy, like, you knew something was coming. You had multiple chances to be like, this is sketch. You're all armed and ready to be
actually
clear.
I flame on the trident because that is a bonus action which I can use now.
Ben,
I think
Ben, so. I think you made a glaive mistake.
Oh my god.
Oh, now look, that's not necessarily relevant to the situation that we're in here, Bryn. That was a pun for a pun's sake, wasn't it?
No, you literally just called it a trident again.
You called it a trident and it's not a glaive.
I'm
sorry. I'm going to defend, you know, as much as I hate it, I will defend Bryn's right to that joke because it is both pertinent and excellent. Okay. Yeah, you flame on your not trident.
Yes.
Okay. Cell, you are up.
Cell's going to do a perception check. If that's something I can do in an attack round?
Yes, so that will basically use up what you would normally use for an attack. I'm oversimplifying a little bit, but that's fine. Give me a perception check.
Cell's just going to look around. What is around? Cell rolls a 4, so that's 18. Remember, Cell has scent, so if there's any of the weird, like, memory scents around, they've got, I suppose, bonuses on that.
You take the time while everyone else is sort of doing other stuff to have a little look around right at the edge of your vision. And bearing in mind, this isn't like on the horizon because you're, you know, amongst dead trees and blah, 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 blah. But like far off, I would say you were walking sort of due the, let's call it the blight. Yep. So at the edge of your vision towards the blight, you think you see one or two non-moving like silver things behind a bunch of branches. Could be people stood, like, it could be a stationary simulacrum. It could just be a statue or whatever, but it could be a
it
person
be
who's not moving. I don't know. It could be Bertie, but
oh god,
all I'm saying is explicitly silver.
Okay, so not Bertie.
And explicitly they are not moving. You can make an educated guess that
I know they weren't there before, maybe.
No, you're not sure on that one, but you can make an educated guess that there's at least two.
There's two silvery things over there. Is that should those be there?
They do appear for size reference about your size. Like, they're not, like, epic, enormous, giant thing. Like, just person-sized-ish.
For visual reference as well, cell-pointed, used... Use their 6 seconds.
Yeah, that's fine.
Efficiently.
Everyone's Pathfinder eye stalks immediately circle, spot the problem, register it, and then return to their general radar twirl. At which point, then, I am saying that you are all basically bunched together. You haven't been told to spread out. You're all within range of one another's like auras and effects. Yeah. It's a sensible place to be. So as a result, I'm basically playing to that until someone tells me they're moving away from there. Mm-hmm. Okay. With that in mind, all of you suddenly get a sort of growing sense of unease immediately overhead. To be clear, this is not a fear effect I'm going to require a will save for or anything like that, but this is perception on a level beyond the basic primary senses. You just know that there is something really, really bad immediately on top of you all. Like, immediately overhead.
We're all at least a little bit magic.
Yeah, that's basically true. Yeah, this. I am just going to rule that you all look up because it's not going to kill you, so I think it's fair. And looking up, you effectively see, ooh, who would this trigger for?
Oh no.
Azu and Hamid.
Oh no.
It feels
big hat.
It feels vaguely reminiscent of the hounds that were bouncing around in Rome.
No, they were awful!
The air itself starts to ripple as if it was water, and you start seeing images behind that ripple. You can't make out what they are, but it's okay because they're coming through the portal for you. Specifically,
Poppy!
A mass of large tentacles just plunge out from the portal immediately upon the party.
Ooh. Alex, I don't like this.
That was an escalation.
They are immediately followed by a enormous maw that pops out from the portal. It's okay, it isn't followed by the rest of the creature because the maw itself is on the end of a large extended stalk.
When we say maw, are we talking like gnashing wolf jaws, like a squid beak, some sort of like rotatey, that shark from James the Giant Peach dealy?
Think mechanically large in terms of category, like would be the guess of the shape of size of this creature, give or take.
That's not very
and
big.
Think sarlacc configuration.
What's a sarlacc?
It's a bit more like with like teeth on all sides, and it looks like something that uses lots of strong peristalsis to like drag things in.
Sandworm style.
Yeah, yeah, that kind of thing.
Cool.
So a big round rotatey thing.
Your sci-fi bastard of choice.
Okay.
Exactly, yes.
And it's got tentacles too. Everyone loves tentacles.
Yeah. So yeah, it is a mass of tentacles. You can't discern the form beyond the shape of this portal. In terms of the portal itself, it appears, 10 feet by 10 feet, mechanically speaking. Like, this is a portal for a large thing. Let's leave it at that. A big number of tentacles. This isn't like a, one per person. Like, lots. With a big old mouth amongst it.
That's a terrible noise.
That feeling of sort of dread is almost like dropping out of it, like someone was pouring a bucket of water on you. Mm-hmm. It seems to be coming from there to here rather than from here ambiently, if you see what I mean.
You said a big kind of mouth. I'm going to need specifics. So are we talking like an octopus beak? Are we talking like a wolf jaw?
No, this is fair.
Talking
let
about
me,
like
let me,
big singing
let me be
human
specific
lips.
For you. Take a great white shark.
Or, as Ben is doing a great impression of, a goldfish.
Okay, take a great white shark, okay?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay.
And then roll it out like dough so you've got a good shark sausage going on.
Cool, gotcha.
With all of the teeth on the inside pointing inwards.
Got it, yep.
But
yep.
Still in those rows.
Nice.
Now half your shark sausage, okay yep. And put that on the end of a stalk. That's
okay,
the mouth.
Okay, cool.
Why did we get a recipe? Why did we get a recipe?
Yeah,
that's called 5 minute crafts.
It's a good, useful way to break it down into a parsable.
It's not just like
it's
a sand
shark
mouth.
I mean, if you want to be generic,
it's the robot shark from the James the Giant Peach film.
That was
the
terrifying.
Most relevant up-to-date reference,
but in a really meaty way.
Okay.
Thank you for specifying that it's meaty. Wonderful.
There is an odd sheen to it as well, almost metallic. It seems to have the colouring of like rainbows on Slick a little bit, but in a metallic sense. Over
rainbows
the
on Slick skin and tentacles coming out the sky. Yep, sorry.
I have knowledge planes.
Ooh.
Yes, you do.
Is it a Boeing 747?
Hey-oh. Oh, sunny warehouse. Very nice, very nice.
Okay. Yes, you do. None of you are patient. You need to learn patience. Just because things are coming to kill you doesn't mean we have to rush. Gosh.
Just
does anyone else have any relevant knowledges?
Sel knows everything.
I mean, Arcana? But I think planes is the appropriate one.
Arcana would not apply in this one.
That's
would religion apply?
I would allow knowledge religion, but you'll have to roll higher.
Nature.
Okay. I also have knowledge nobility. Is it a member of the British royal family?
You'd have to roll to find out. Lydia,
yep.
For your knowledge nature, you know it's not natural. You just get that for free.
Cool.
Yeah, can I get a knowledge planes from Zolfin? Can I get a knowledge religion from Azu? But you got to roll real high on that one, if I'm honest.
So that's an 18 on knowledge planes.
Okay.
I got a 21 on religion.
Okay. Knowledge religion, I mean, it doesn't look like it's a demon, but it looks like it could be a really good contender. For knowledge planes, you think that whatever this thing, you can't place what it is, there's not enough info.
Yep.
You think whatever this thing is probably poking itself in from the ethereal plane. The ethereal plane should not be giving off that kind of a dread vibe normally. I can't give you more with that role. Basically, you think ethereal plane and you think something's actively wrong on the level of the ethereal plane.
Oh no, what if Mr. Ceiling went up there?
Oh, we actually apotheosed.
Yeah.
Apotheosed?
The apotheosis is upon us.
Now, I have to keep this combat moving. Interestingly enough, the creature doesn't attack because apparently it takes a significant amount of time for all of those tentacles and fear to fall out. So weirdly enough, it actually moves on to Skrark.
I'm just kind of hoping at some point I have to fly a nuke back through the portal, personally.
See, this is the kind of thing I'd be okay with.
I mean, temptation to use plane shift rising.
Oh, Ben. You do you, mate. You do you.
All right, I will. I'm going to plane shift us all to the ethereal plane. Good luck with your campaign, Alex. We'll see you later.
Summit Neil has just left there like, well, they were not useful.
We're not getting any combat done, but could you imagine? I cast plane of shift. Cool, right. I'm going to continue with the rest of the party. We finished the session. Alex, you didn't return to me. Yeah, you're gone.
Yeah.
What? You're gone, mate.
Oh, no, you misunderstand. I will take the party through with me. I can do up to, like, 10 people, I think.
Yeah, you can. So, I am going to reiterate for both listeners' benefit and for Bryn's benefit. For the sake of me keeping tabs on things, when we enter combat situations, unless I explicitly say otherwise, Skrark defaults to Bryn's control under the leadership feat. As long as Bryn isn't doing something that I think Skrark would actively never do, I'm fine with that, but occasionally I might take over if there's an element that I think is relevant that Bryn, you know, can't know, like Skrark sees something that Bryn couldn't know about for the game or whatever.
Sure. Were we told to avoid the trees at any point last session? This is an out-of-character question because it's been 2 weeks for us.
You were told once you entered the Blight.
Yeah.
Two things. One, don't try to learn any lessons here. You're going to hear horrible things, and this isn't a... I wonder what that was cluing it... Don't try to learn lessons here, and if stuff comes for you, it doesn't matter what it is, hit back.
Okay. Yeah. I think Skrark's move is going to be to climb the nearest tree. He likes to be up high, and it'll give
Doing
him some
so
cover
will
and
provoke an attack of opportunity from an enormous mass of tentacles.
Okay, I can make an acrobatics roll to avoid that.
Yes, please.
Skrark has a climb speed, like he can just...
Oh, yeah, Skrark can just be in the tree, yeah. Don't worry about that.
Ooh, only 15 on the acrobatics check.
So, unfortunately, with that roll, I don't need to roll stuff to just get the attack of opportunity.
It's not a great roll.
So, as a result, it's going to take the attack.
This is where Skrark gets one-shotted.
What's Skrark's AC?
22.
Oh. With a 23!
Oh, no!
The mouth snaps out and immediately sinks into Skrark's shoulder. You're going to have to track the damage to Skrark.
Yep.
Interestingly, it doesn't seem to be doing too much damage, oddly enough. Only does 7 damage.
But...
Oh, Ben, stop getting ahead of me.
Your tone is saying everything we need to know. All I'm doing is vocalizing what we're all thinking.
The glee in your voice is telling me how bad this must be.
Mm-hmm. and how pleased with yourself you are.
Can I get a will save, please?
Yes. Is this a fear effect?
This is not a fear effect.
Okay.
And it's not a charm effect either. You never know.
You know, the rolled out shark was just very convincing.
You pop out of that portal with your come hither tentacles.
This is not a charm effect. The reason that I'm saying this is it's really important to say these are all relevant questions within this combat. This specifically is not. No.
Okay.
25 total.
Ooh, good. Okay, cool. So in that case then, the teeth sink into Scrock's shoulder as Scrock tries to scarper up the tree. And for a briefest of moments, Scrock turns and projects at Hamid the look of the most intense hatred, vicious loathing, like real animalistic hatred of Hamid, and then it's immediately snapped gone, as if like, oh, I don't know what that was. Scrog basically, yeah, makes it up the nearest tree, and thanks to the climb speed, would end up at the same level as the portal, but in a tree to the side, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
At which point then, anything else that Scrog is doing?
No. Scrog will activate the ability of the stalking dagger.
Ooh. Understood. In which case then, the sound of the surrounding bells seem to grow louder and seem to move closer. They do not seem to be emanating from the portal in any way. There does not seem to be a discernible pattern, and it does not seem to be coming from a specific direction. It just seems to be growing a bit more present, but just around.
Okay.
At which point, Summit Njöll, who is currently shaken but still holding it together, turns into a bear.
Good for them.
Just boom, bah, I am a bear now. A large, mechanically large creature, this one. Specifically, for anyone who's interested, a dire polar bear, because she can.
Ooh. Cool. That's very cool.
Yeah, that is extremely
There's
cool.
now a just horrendously vicious-looking polar bear.
As a, you know, like, throwaway action, Cell's just going to go, Cell knows exactly what level of casting that requires, and Cell isn't
yeah. Polar bears are the most dangerous bears as well, so that's very useful.
The bear immediately tries to basically snap and attack all of the tentacles. Doesn't succeed, but also doesn't appear to suddenly, like, I mean, you know what my monsters are like. Doesn't appear to catch fire, doesn't suddenly turn into a frog or something,
cool.
But doesn't make a successful attack. I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
At which point, Azu, you are up. Tentacles everywhere and a big toothy maw. A big shark sausage. Arr, arr, arr.
Right. Detect evil it is.
Could you imagine if it was, oh no, this is good, and it just, I was just startled. Hello.
Like, a lot has happened to Ed in the intervening time.
I would say, Helen, this is also useful because if it is evil, you can then cast Smite Evil on
I
it.
Know.
So it
I was just the, thinking yeah. that.
This thing, you know what I'm like with my detect alignments things.
Yeah,
I like
yeah.
to do the spectrum thing. This is the most evil thing you've ever encountered.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Worse than Shoeen, like, which is like saying something.
Off the chart. Off the chart evil. This is something that you can categorically state, thanks to this spell, given the power, this thing would willfully kill everything in existence just because it could.
My evilometer is just exploding.
If it wasn't mechanically rude, I would stun you for how evil this is. But it doesn't work like that. Detect magic, though, does, but not detect evil.
Okay. Now that it is evil...
Now that you've made it evil...
Now that I've confirmed it is evil, in terms of the communal, then, I can only touch the people who are, like, next to me, then.
Yes, which would exclude... Technically, I'm going to say it only excludes Scrock currently, because you were that bunched together. It's fine.
Okay, then I do it. I cast Protection from Evil, communal, on everyone around me apart from Scrock, because I can't reach him.
Okay, so you provoke an attack of opportunity.
That's okay.
In which case, then, basically, and Bryn can correct me, I've been playing too many systems, so as deputy, Bryn now has the power to basically just tell me I'm wrong. As far as I'm remembering for this, it's a case of I am rolling my attack opportunity, and if it hits, then the concentration check
No, you roll concentration check first.
Okay.
So roll your d20.
Okay. Oh, God, be good to me today. Be good to me, gods of dice.
No, be bad. There's so many mechanics we can play with today. What's the score? What's
okay.
the score?
Okay, so it's what the dice said... Plus my level, plus my ability modifier.
Which for you will be charisma.
Okay, so that's 10 plus 9 plus 3 is 22.
Okay, cool. In which case, then, you have successfully cast... That's a sentence. You have successfully cast defensively.
Yay.
So, as a result, you don't provoke an attack opportunity and your spell goes off. Gosh, okay. I forgot how complicated this can get.
Everybody, you now have a plus 2 deflection bonus to your AC, plus 2 resistance to saves if the evil thing tries to do anything to you. You also get an extra saving throw if something tries to control your mind.
Ooh, that will definitely be useful. CFs.
What's it say specifically on that?
It specifically says, the subject immediately receives another saving throw, if one was allowed to begin with, against any spells or effects that possess or exercise mental control over the creature, including enchantment charm effects and enchantment compulsion effects, such as charm person, command, and dominate person. This saving throw is made with a plus 2 morale bonus, using the same DC as the original effect. There is another 5 lines.
No, that's fine. You've given me more than enough. Great. Fabulous. Gosh, I forgot how good you are at certain things. Good.
Yes. One more thing. If an evil creature is summoned, this spell prevents any bodily contact by, like, the natural weapon attacks of summoned evil creatures will fail.
I will tell you now, this doesn't count as summoned, so that isn't going
to work. That's fine. Just wanted to...
And, like, you would know this doesn't count as a summoned already, so, yeah.
That's okay.
Okay. You got some good first stuff out. In which case, then, Wild will just sustain the Bardic Inspiration, and that's probably the highest benefit to cost that Wild can really do in this situation.
God, imagine the soundscaping for this. It's like a hum and tentacles and a mouth.
Oh, it's going to be a
bells.
Mess. I'm so sorry. Can you tell that I'm not the primary editor anymore? And then 1,000 children start singing, but they each have an indistinctly different voice. It's just hard to play. No, not quite. But what I will say is that seems a sensible point for a break, and we'll come back in on a new initiative round.
Okay.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound. And you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.
And welcome back. So, top of the initiative, we have all the pieces in place. Hamid, you're up. Look, an enemy. Oh, an enemy.
Hamid takes a 5-foot step backwards through the air to avoid provoking attacks of opportunity with movement, but just wants to be slightly further away than most other people.
When you say away, do you mean... Okay, because this is a flat portal that's open directly above your head, are you talking 5 foot down or sideways?
Well, sideways, effectively, yeah. 5 foot.
That's fine.
Back the way we came.
Basically, on the X or Y axis is fine. Z, I would advise against.
Yeah. This thing is not very far above us, is it?
Oh, it is immediately on top of you. It is as close as it could get.
I feel like Fireball would not be a good choice here.
Boo! Boo, come on!
I cast Scorching Ray. Is this thing in melee combat with people?
Yes.
Okay. This is a ranged touch attack.
Yes.
There are two rays produced. One is at a 23 to hit, and one is at an 18 to hit.
23 and an 18 both hit.
Good.
I hate
Alex's face shows real pain.
Good.
23 damage on the first one. And 23 damage on the second one.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it goes... Rah. I'd love to give you the noise, but I feel like the human larynx isn't necessarily designed for the noise that it'll make. But yeah, I guess something closer more to like... or something like that, but, you know... Work with what you got, you know?
Sure. That's a fair chunk of damage. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Ow. I don't really have a response yet. Other things haven't gone off. Anything else that you'd like to do?
That is my turn.
Zolf, you are up.
Yeah, so just based on my knowledge planes, I don't know if this will give me the answer, but is this creature alive? Like, is it living? Like, it's not a construct, it's not undead, it's... Is it?
Educated guess, it should be alive. It should be killable.
Grand.
It'll be killable the same way a ghost is killable.
No. And what I asked is this creature living?
Okay. Yes, cool. It is living, but it is
That's fine.
Complicated
That's all I need.
Living.
All I needed was that. Right, so I activate Freedom's Call.
Uh-huh.
What this means is I emit a 30-foot aura of freedom for... Well, up to 9 rounds. I can turn this on and off when I want to. Allies within this aura are not affected by confused, grappled, frightened, panicked, paralyzed, pinned, or shaken conditions. Of note, still get those conditions because this aura only suppresses the effects. It doesn't get rid of them. So if you become, like, frightened, as soon as you leave the aura, you are frightened and will do frightened things.
Is that a spell?
It's a spell-like ability, I guess.
Basically, are you casting because it will provoke an attack of opportunity from this thing?
No, it doesn't even cost me an action, according to the rules, which are...
That's fine. Technically, it should have taken an attack of opportunity on Hamid, but I'm feeling generous, so it didn't.
It didn't.
You stunner. I love it.
I have combat casting, which gives me +4 to those checks, so I have to roll pretty badly.
It's not built for that, so yeah.
So I'm going to slay living on it. I'm making a touch attack, so that is... what's my whiz? 5, so 14. Okay, that's odds on. Rolled a 19, nailed it.
Yeah, great. No attack of opportunity then.
Right.
Oh, this is going to hurt, isn't it? This is
so
really going to hurt.
I grab a tentacle and it says here...
you get your hands off my beautiful baby.
And my hand seethes with eerie dark fire.
Ooh.
So the target needs to roll a fortitude saving throw or take 12d6 plus 9 damage.
Holy
lord!
How dare you get saving throws from my creatures? How very dare you?
That's so many d6!
What's the...
Oh, my spell save DC, 20. It's quite high.
That's quite high.
Fast. You only take 3d6 plus 9.
What have you done?
I'm so tired.
No.
Level 5 spells, Alex. Level 5 spells.
You leave her alone! She was just a nice tentacle monster with a shark sausage for a mouth. You leave my baby alone!
Destroy it! Throw it into the fire!
Alex made a boss monster.
Fails the fort save! Come on! Why does this always happen to me?
Yeah.
Oh. Right.
Roll the damage.
I don't own enough D6, so I've got a dice roller up here. Okay, it takes 45 damage.
Nice.
I rolled a 36.
Come on.
I actually rolled garbage.
Yeah.
That's still lots,
yeah,
though.
That's quite a low roll given how much you could have got.
1, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 3, 3, 5, 6, 6.
Wow.
Me and Ben have now done combined 91 damage to it.
Nice.
Come on, team, between us.
In how many rounds? One and a bit.
Well, I mean, technically one round.
Yeah, the first round
attacks. You are horrendous. You are a horrendous nightmare.
Level 9 characters.
Okay, anything else that you want to do to my baby?
No, I'm not moving. It'll get an attack of opportunity. I don't want that.
Cell, you're up. You have a new friend, and it's all up in your grill, and it's not respecting your personal space at all.
So, like, one of the drawbacks of alchemists is they require setup, and I should have made more choices in the prep moment that we had. Stupid perception check. I will chug a targeted bomb admixture.
That's fine.
Because if I have Cell throw bombs now, we will get hit by the splash damage.
Which is bad.
While I know that Ben's characters have all of the hit points, Skrark probably wouldn't want 4 times splash damage.
Yeah, probably not.
Is this drinking a potion?
Yep.
That will provoke an attack of opportunity.
Chug, chug, chug. Cool. Ooh, good luck. What do I have to roll?
Do you drink defensively?
I don't think you can drink defensively. I think this is one that you just kind of have to take on the chin.
That's one of the things.
Oh, come on!
What?
The creature manages to fumble its mouth.
I mean, to be fair, I would fumble my mouth if it was a long shark tube.
The large toothy maw reaches out to bite your face.
Yeah.
The portal's still messing with depth perception. It misses, goes past your head, and then just kind of goes... just hits you on the side of the tube instead of the big
what
toothy bit.
What does its skin feel like?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Is it like shark skin?
Oh, that's actually a good question.
Totally smooth.
Completely smooth. The smoothest
so
thing.
Smooth.
Like oil.
I would say it is actually quite gristly. It looks like it should feel smooth, but actually it's extremely gristly.
Ooh. Is it like a meat bean bag?
Like a pork scratcher.
I mean, Ben, in a way, aren't we all meat bean bags?
It's true.
Just meat bean bags with dreams.
I guess it feels at first like a meaty bean bag. I can't believe that's a sentence I've had to say, but there we are. Are you doing anything else?
Well, I assume that they can't chug a thing. Can't throw a bomb.
You could move.
I don't want to move.
I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Good. Okay,
ooh,
cool.
Although I could have hasted myself and then I could do both next turn.
Oh. I'm going to say that you've already drunk your potion.
Okay. Cell thinks... Blumenek.
In which case, then, I am going to jump onto the creature's thing. Hamid.
Yes.
You are going to be giving me your AC.
23.
Good. Okay. Don't mind me.
We're minding. We are actively minding.
I genuinely thought there'd be a lot more dice rolling sounds.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm rolling on a soft mat, so weirdly enough, I'm rolling loads, but you're hearing nothing. It's a bit odd.
He glanced at his charts.
Oh, no.
Bryn, you get hit twice. To be clear, all of the tentacles go all for Hamid. You get hit twice. All of them. Do not underestimate how many there are. I'm getting quite frustrated here.
Don't like that.
No, don't like that at all. Get back down here, young man.
It's nonsense.
I mean, I'm floating 5 foot above the ground, Helen, and your character is tall enough to just still be... I'm actually closer to you than normal.
I just put a hand over your head. Just be like, no.
This is getting actively frustrating to me now. This is a very carefully crafted encounter with a ridiculous number of tentacles. You have taken 8 damage with no complicating effects.
Yes.
Shouldn't run a D20 system there, mate.
Why? Why is it that you keep all getting imperiled by mooks, and every time I give you something shiny and nice, it's garbage?
Hey, look, I could have rolled a lot better on my 12d6, so, you know, swings and roundabouts, all right?
That won't go off now. Yeah, great, brilliant. Alex is really annoyed.
Ah, Alex's damp fart of a turn ends.
I tell you now, I rolled 3 times, either a 1 or a 2, ooh, in a row.
Nice.
Nice, nice.
God's sake, Scrark, you're up. Put me out of my misery. Just...
Scrark leaps after it, throws a nuke in its face. It's over!
I put so much effort in!
Oh, Alex, we believe in you. We have faith.
If Scrark attacks one of the tentacles that is close to Azu, will it count as being threatened by Azu and therefore activate flanking?
Yes. Oh, no, it wouldn't. Because it has to be a line drawn through the entire creature from one end to the other. It wouldn't. It physically can't because it's larger than Azu. Azu would have to move to trigger that.
Scrark delays his turn in the initiative order until after Azu.
Okay, yeah, I see what you're doing there. That makes sense. In which case, then, the sound of the bells move distinctly closer.
I don't like that at all. I really don't. I feel like
a friend.
Sleigh bells ring. Are you listening?
I'm not going to ask for a perception check because you're all engaged in combat. There's no way that I can do that. They move distinctly closer to the point where they sound like they are drawing near to being on top of you. None of you see anything that could be causing this currently.
Can Cell smell anything?
No.
Oh, damn.
Sorry.
If only they were stinky bells.
You leave my stinky bells alone.
Not going there. Not going there.
At which point, you also hear, from a distant corner, the sound of something slightly more mundane. Just a bit of a monstrous roar.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
To be specific, this one is more of a...
A frustrated and exhausted monster?
Exactly that, yes. To be clear, it is coming from a direction. If you were heading towards the Blight, mm-hmm. It's coming off from the left.
Okay.
It seems independent of the bells, has nothing to do with the portals. And to be clear, it seems to be something that is like... I hesitate to use the phrase, like, normal-sized. The reason I have to spell this out is for soundscaping and stuff like that. This is not a giant creature that's, like, 3,000 foot tall about to step on you. It's just a thing.
I like it. It might just be another druid doing something completely different, but just having a crap day. They're just not involved in the story. They're just a bit miserable.
But that is currently a noise that you all hear. At which point, Summit Newell... In fairness, I don't get to complain because Summit Newell also rolled garbage against my baby. So as a result, like, I'm at least getting that in my favour. Thank goodness. Right, let's try again. Another natural one. Okay, you're going in dice jail.
The thing.
Ah, that's when you know it's serious.
Oh, okay, right. A hit. Fine. Good. The bear just tears a tentacle off.
Lovely.
Just bites and just tears it asunder. What comes out of it, it appears to have no innards and seems to be full entirely of black ichor.
Gross.
Yeah, nice.
Like, it doesn't seem to... It feels gristly on the outside, but there's not actually anything moving it inside, and it just gushes everywhere. It's just like...
Does the rest of it deflate? It's done. Yeah.
The damaged tentacle basically does sort of start to go a bit, like, deflated, then snaps itself back into that portal. But, yeah, it's just like a... For the look of the thing, it's like tar, but it doesn't have that sticky kind of quality to it, if you see what I mean.
Gross.
But for Cell's benefit, how does it smell?
This is important.
You know, it's a fair point. Yeah. No scent at all.
Cell is frustrated by this.
I'm sorry. Like, It has no smell.
Just going up and rubbing their nose in it, being like, smell, damn it!
Like, we had all those memory scents. It seemed like there was going to be, you know...
Yeah. You did, didn't you? And this thing doesn't smell at all. At which point,
then... I've connected
the
dots.
Azu, you're up.
I have a question to ask about swift actions.
Yes.
If I do a swift action, do I still have a standard action?
Yes.
Yes.
As a swift action, I activate Smite Evil.
Yes!
This is going to really hurt, but that's fine.
I really hope it does.
I have done nothing to you. Have I done... I've done 8 damage, I think, so far.
Just remember also, because it's been so long since we've done combat, you've got your... On your first attack each turn, you, like, what, double your damage, don't you?
Basically, yeah.
12, yeah. Oh.
You can't, however, cleave tentacles. They all count as the same creature.
Yeah.
Okay.
This was a way for me to hit you with multiple things simultaneously without you just cleaving everything into powder.
Okay, well, my Smite Evil goes off. As my standard action, I'm going to hit it with my massive axe. So, prayer circle for this dice, please.
Come on, natural ones.
You're kidding me. That's only a 5. That's only 24.
No, but that's a 19 plus 5.
Yeah, it's still enough.
My... first attack, then. Bryn said it was 30, and I believe Bryn.
Excellent. In which case, then, Helen, I would like to ask you. There is a large portal-based tentacle shark-toothed monster reaching down on top of everyone.
Yeah.
How would you like to kill it? Because it didn't really get a chance to do anything else.
Helen, you didn't even need your second attack. You had another attack in the bank. Your turn wasn't over.
I want to
slice its mouth off.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, fine. So you wind it back and you just slice cleanly the extended sort of mandible part of it.
Yes, it got demouthitated.
Basically, you cut its entire mouth off. Ichor just gushes, just sprays from it in an absolute torrent. It's like someone tried to pour a swimming pool of ichor through a hose. It goes absolutely everywhere. And all of you, it doesn't have a mechanical effect, so I don't have to ask for a will save. So all of you who are sprayed, which basically is everyone apart from Skrark, even you, Hamid, even you, find alien emotions sort of temporarily cropping up. So it splashes over you, and it's like some of you have a sudden wave of adoration for that bush. Some of you have, like, absolute reprehensible hate for your party member or whatever. There's no pattern to it. It is utterly random. But all of you have a brief flash and then it goes away. And what starts to happen is the tentacles, as it's gushing this icar, start to deflate. That's the best way to describe it. And they try and retract but fail. And then it looks like the main body of the thing is starting to slip through this portal.
Ugh.
It starts to sag outwards and you start seeing it. It doesn't seem to have a torso as such. It appears to have some kind of weird, like, these tentacles appear to be coming from, say, a single limb of the thing. I don't know how else to describe it. And it's falling through and then the portal just snaps shut, severing whatever has fallen through. And this mass of deflated flesh slowly recedes down into an astonishingly small, sort of almost jellyfish-like thing with all of this ichor just awash everywhere.
I'm imagining it with the sound of like a balloon deflating, like...
I don't know, to my ear it feels a lot more like wah-wah, ha-ha-ha, Alex, wah-wah.
Stop
but, you know, to each
bosses.
Their own. It's fine. I didn't say combat was over.
Yeah, but you look like it is.
I'm annoyed because that didn't even do anything.
Hey, I took 8 damage.
Oh, you did.
Oh. I took no damage whatsoever.
It took 130 in the time it took me to deal 8 damage.
No, you did 7 to Skrark as well.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right. You know what? I'm being petulant. I apologise. Azu, you still have the rest of your turn to go. What do you want to do? You've got all of your turn. Go for it.
Dance party? Dance party.
Are we out of initiative?
No. You still have the rest of your turn. You are still in initiative.
Oh, my turn, or...
You have a second attack, if you would like to take it, Azu. But there's nothing to attack.
Would you like to attack any of your party members? You'd be doing me a favour.
No, thank you. Azu would
Very
like
well.
To love and care for all of her party members.
In which case, then, I will jump to Wild, who is sustaining the bardic inspiration, but for flavour, I'll say momentarily stops and says, "That was very easy." At which point, you hear a sound that you didn't necessarily notice the last time, which is that slight tearing of the world coming apart.
Mm-mm.
And I'm going to end the episode there.
God, there's going to be another one.
There's going to be four.
I hope so, because Sel just got prepped. Gosh darned alchemists.
Neither Sel nor Skrark got to attack during that combat.
Is this what you all felt like when Sasha was around, like running through things? It's just like, jump, 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 da-da. And you're like, I've got my sword out. Now Sel's like, I've just got some admin to do. 3 pages into my 4th ring binder. And
if you'll excuse me, I'm just gonna end this episode. I'm just gonna shut it down so I can immediately jump to punching all of your characters because you all deserve punishment, and I can do that. So I'm gonna end the episode. Goodbye. Prepare yourself.
Bye. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, everyone. It's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.
Hi.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-alike 4.0 international license. Today's episode was directed by Alexander J. Newell and produced by Hannah Preisinger. To subscribe, buy merchandise, or join our Patreon, visit rustyquill.com. Rate and review us online, tweet us at The Rusty Quill, visit us on Facebook, or email us via mail@rustyquill.com. Join our community on the Discord or via Reddit at r/rustyquill. Thanks for listening.